পুঞ্জাবি হারি কপি জানা বাংলা বাগেরে বাদা ধারি যশোরা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা চিরাবন চারি যমুনা চিরাবন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব পুঞ্জাবি হারি কপি জানা বালব গিরি বরধারি যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা চিরাবন চারি জয় রথ মাধব পুঞ্জাবি হারি কপি জানা বালব গিরি বরধারি জয় রথ মাধব পুঞ্জাবি হারি কপি জানা বালব গিরি বরধারি
জয় বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রজাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শ্রী শ্রীমদ His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda ki jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Vachanane Nirvishesha Sunya Vadi Pasacha Ketitane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna. So this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chapter 8 of the Madhya Lila talks between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. Next 102. So we'll chant 101. The word meanings, Prabhu Kahe, the Lord said, Age, ahead, Kaha, please speak, Sunite, to hear, Pai, I get Suke, happiness, Apurva Amrita, of unprecedented nectar, Nadi, Nadi, a river, Vahe, flows, Tomara Muke, from your mouth. Prabhu kahe age kaha sunite pai suke.
Prabhu kahe age kaha sunite pai suke.
Apuramrita nadi vahe tomara muke.
Apuramrita nadi vahe tomara muke.
Prabhu kahe age kaha sunite pai suke. Apurvad amrita nadi vahe tomara muke muke. Prabhu kahe age kaha sunite pai suke. Apurvamrita nadi vahe tomara muke. Chant.
Prabhu kahe age kaha sunite pai suke.
Prabhu kahe age kaha sunite pai suke.
Apurvamrita nadi vahe tomara muke.
Apurvamrita nadi vahe tomara muke.
Prabhu kahe age kaha sunite pai suke.
Prabhu kahe age kaha
sunite pai suke.
Anyone? In translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I'll read the translations for 101 and 102 together, and there's a short purport, one sentence, two sentences, for text 102. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please speak on. I am very happy to hear you because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. During the Rasa dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of the others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away. Purport. Out of fear of the other gopis, Lord Sri Krishna took Srimati Radharani to a secluded place. In this regard, the verse Kama Sri Api, the following verse 106, will be quoted from the Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So continuing talks between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Of course, for all the Vaishnavas, this is a very famous conversation in which many truths of the Lord's activities and devotional service are revealed in the discussions between the Lord and Amananda Rai. Actually, this conversation, as noted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the talk, is unprecedented in that it contains knowledge of subject matters which are the most confidential of the entire Vedas. No more confidential knowledge can be found. Indeed, Ramananda Roy remarks upon being questioned by Lord Chaitanya that I'm surprised that someone could even inquire into these subject matters. But Lord Chaitanya is asking for more and more. And here again, he's asking Ramananda Roy, please continue. And so one of the most confidential instances of the rasa dance itself being so confidential, but one of the most confidential parts of that is now being introduced into the conversation. Actually, over the next several, or at least the next month probably, we here in our regular class will be discussing these topics of Rasa-lila. In the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we're currently in the chapter where Lord Krishna rescues his father Nandamaras from Varunaji. And the next chapter after that begins, is the 29th chapter after that, and that begins the section of the Rasa-lila in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll be discussing those topics. And of course, hopefully others will be discussing those topics. I don't know how much I can really add to that subject matter, but I can say one thing, and that is that we should hear these subject matters. We should hear these subject matters. We come together daily for hearing recitations from the scriptures, most notably Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita is on Saturdays, Bhagavad Gita. And we're meant to do this. We're meant to do this. It's a very important part of our sadhana. We may not be on the highest level of realizations. We may be full of so many faults. But if we give oral reception to these topics, we are at least doing what we should be doing to advance in devotional service. Of course, what we do isn't as important as why we do it. And I think this distinction has to be made. The why is more important than the what. How many of you have been to Vrindavan, Dham, lately, within the last couple of years or so, maybe more than that? If you've been there, you see that when you drive off of the main highway and turn on to Bhakti Vedanta Swami Marg, you see all these big billboards there nowadays, huge billboards with huge pictures of people's faces. Some of Krishna, not so many, but mainly you find these big posters advertising Bhagavad Katha. What is it called again? The 8 days? Sapta, Bhagavad Sapta. A 7-day recitation of the Lord's activities. And advertise, and there's one after another after another another of these big huge posters advertising these sadhus who speak on this topic. And I don't presume to speak against any of those sadhus or judge their qualifications or anything like that. That's not my point. But Srila Prabhupada said to us that, he warned us that the why is more important than the what. What they're doing is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Same thing that we do every morning in our Bhagavatam class. That's what we do. But Prabhupada's objection was why they do it. Why they do it. Indicating that the motive is more important than the what. I mean, they're describing Krishna's activities from Srimad Bhagavatam. What's wrong with that? Well, maybe nothing, but at least we should understand that the why to recite and hear Srimad Bhagavatam is very important. It's very important. The why should be what? What? Why do we hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Why are we sitting here today? Why do we come here every day? Basically, the same people come here every day. So why? Why do you come here? Huh? Punya Shravana Kirtan, yes. Here to purify our heart, to develop those pious activities. Why else? Why else do people come? To please Krishna. Yeah, that's important. To please Krishna. To please Prabhupada. Yes. Yeah, these things are important. If we neglect that why we come here, then pretty soon we're not going to be coming. It's not going to be important. It's not going to be a priority in our life. To come here and sit daily to hear, it means you have to arrange so many things in your life so that you can do that. But if it's not important to you, if you don't believe in the importance of it, or at least even if you don't theoretically accept the importance of it, then sooner or later it won't be important and you won't come. And that's unfortunate because this is the process. What's going on in this verse here between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Ramananda Roy? Obviously they're discussing on a levels of understanding and inspiration and love for Krishna that at least that I don't have. But what they're doing is the same thing we should be doing. And that comes together when we talk about the why. When we talk about the why. That's why we do it. The why we do everything is important. And Srila Prabhupada gave much instruction in this regard. Not only this idea about being aware of persons who make money from Bhagavat Saptaha, but even from chanting Hare Krishna. Why do we chant Hare Krishna? We're also welcoming Mahaprabhu and his wife here to our community. We're embarking on a week-long wonderful experience of kirtan. I hope all of you will take advantage of it. But you know, Prabhupada, he also was cautious about that. He was also cautious about that. I was there in Mayapur in 1977, and there was arranged as part of the festival a kirtan mela, and like all the different temples were like in a competition. Like, where I remember our traveling sankirtan party, we were led by Satrup Maharaj, and so we didn't have fancy kirtan leaders, but we did like an old style kirtan. We thought, well, we'll do old style kirtan. That way, maybe we'll, you know, have an edge in the competition. But there are others, you know, they're chanting and playing mridanga nice, and there are many groups from Bengal that were a part of this competition, and you could hear them. You know, in Mayapur there, you could hear them. They were all out in that area where the temple is being built now. And Prabhupada could hear them too. And at one point he said, stop this. They're simply chanting for money. You know, he didn't hear, well, he heard through the names
that they were chanting, the what they were doing. They were doing what? They were chanting Hare Krishna. But the why was coming through to Srila Prabhupada. Why are they chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said they're simply chanting for money. So the why was more important than the what. So we need to be conscious of this. Deity worship, same kind of thing. Prabhupada gave the instruction. He compared those two words, galagraha and vigraha. Those are the two. Galagraha means it's a burden. He was contrasting that, I think, with vigraha. So it's simply a burden. It's ritualistic. If you don't know why you're doing something, if you don't believe in why you're doing something, then it simply becomes a burden. Prabhupada said, after some time, he was saying to his disciples, you'll think, oh, our Guru Maharaj has left us such a big burden to maintain the deity worship. And it becomes like that. It becomes ritualistic if we don't have this understanding of why, this belief in what we're doing. Now, I don't mean that by belief in what we're doing that we have to say, yes, I understand. I understand Radha Krishna Leela. I understand why Krishna took away Radha from the assembly of gopis. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a more basic realization that, as you responded when I asked, why are we here today? Why? To please Krishna, to please Prabhupada, we sit and we hear. This is what actually Vaishnavas do. We talk about a higher taste, getting a higher taste. Pram drishva nivartate. And that helps us give up the lower taste and lower activities in life. But how do we get that? I mean, we don't run around trying to invent all kinds of crazy ways to satisfy our senses. Rather, what we do is we just sit and hear. This is described, we're seeing it with Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy sitting there, but it's also described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as kind of a side note here, there's a facility in Krishna, ISKCON Desire Tree now, where you can go to any verse of the Bhagavatam, and then they have recorded lectures on that verse by different devotees. And so, yesterday, I was giving a talk at the Krishna House yesterday, and it was on Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, text number 25. It's a famous verse, Itam Patanga Prasangam Mama Virya Samvido. And so I looked up that verse in preparation for that class, and I can tell you that Dravida Prabhu, sitting here, in the year 2011, he gave a class on that verse in Winnipeg, Canada. So you can find it there, who spoke where, what date, on what verse. And so that's Dravida Prabhu. Am I correct? Yeah, well, it's there. It's in the recording if you go look on ISKCON Desire Tree under this verse. But anyway,
I didn't
send it there. No, there are a lot of nice devotees who have spoken this verse there described. But this verse is very important because it describes what Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy are doing, and it describes what we do as their followers. Satam prasangam mama vir samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata jata joshanad apya pavarga vartmani shraddha natir bhaktir anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Anukramishyati, it's a step-by-step process. It's a step, gradually, step-by-step. If we have enough faith and believe in why we're sitting every day in the Bhagavatam class, or studying at home, I don't want to condemn, I'm not condemning anybody. But if we daily we take this practice of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to have the faith that by doing that, anukramishyati, gradually, step by step, we'll get these things. Shraddha, faith. Rati, attraction. Then bhakti, devotion. These things will develop step by step. If we simply sit and hear, giving oral reception. And it's not a hard process. It's not a difficult process. We all get so much enlivenment when we get visits from devotees like Dravida, who gives many wonderful classes, and his presentations on the Shastra's poeticizing the Shastra. Very pleasing to the heart and the ear, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole point. Poetry. Poetry attracts your mind with the wonderful use of language. He's expert at this, and he uses it to glorify Krishna and take verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's pleasing to the heart and the ear when we have that visit. Or when we sit and we hear Madhavabhu's kirtan. He always reminds us during his kirtan, he says, one more time from the... Yes, we have to hear it with our heart. In other words, it's going to be pleasing to the heart and the ear, but we have to be receptive on that level. As he very, you know, I think I'm quite inspired in his association. You know, given that, you know, you can become like a rock star in ISKCON very easily, you know. But he always reminds the devotees, it's not a performance. It's not a performance here. That's not why we're doing it. Why we're doing it is another thing. It's not a performance. We're not doing, that's not the why. So we have to be very careful about the why in all of our activities, whatever activities we may be doing. It's not necessarily what we do, but it's why we do it. And if we do that, do it in the correct consciousness in the association of devotees, then the whole understanding of Krishna and love for Krishna opens in our heart. In the purport to this verse, Satam Prasangam Mambavir Sambhido, Prabhupada makes the point about how materialists cannot understand Krishna, even if they read Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me just read that to you. It's quite an interesting statement he makes. He says, non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think these activities are fictional, manufactured stories because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. So in the association of devotees, the proper mood will be there. And when the proper mood is there, we can understand. Mood means why. Mood doesn't necessarily mean what. Mood means why. We understand in a proper way why we're doing things. Then we can understand. Materially, we'll never be able to understand. We may be a very excellent reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We may worship the deity very gorgeously. But impersonalists also worship the deity. They also worship the deity. Another experience I had when I was doing my recent trip to Vrindavan, was I visited a wonderful new temple that's open. A new temple that's opened there. You walk in. It was at night. I walked in, and it was all lit up and nice. The grounds are amazing. You know how much land cost in Vrindavan to see the expanse of that place there. And I'm talking about Prem Mandir, which is just a few short walk down from our temple. When you think about how expensive land in Vrindavan is and the expanse of land you have there, you think, wow, these people put a lot of money into this. What to speak of the buildings they have. They have a wonderful exhibition of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. I mean, the hill is like, must be 30-40 yards long, and Krishna's under there in full size. He's holding it up on the residents of Vrindavan and under there. They have another thing of the rasa dance. Krishna and the gopis are like, they're moving around, you know. They're like turning in circles, and there's a whole display there. Huge, huge display. And the temple is gorgeously built. Maybe for my taste, the lighting was a little bit over the top, you know, a little gaudy. But amazing. And then you go inside, and there's Radhakrishnan deities. But, you know, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Bunky Bihari Mandir, they may be older buildings, little, you know, not so fancy and everything like that. But you go in those temples, and you see the devotion. Like a Krishna Balaram Mandir, you see people bring the garlands to the deities. And they're like there, and then the pujari takes the garland. Everyone's like, the deities are begging for mercy and things like that. And, you know, then they're chanting, and big roars go up through the crowd. You know, it's alive. The place is alive with devotion for the deities. It's not a sterile place. But if you go in that Prem Mandir, it's like... You know, there's no rush towards the deities, and the pujari standing there, you know, twiddling his thumbs, basically, and there's no exchange between the deity and the pujari and the devotees, no prasadams going back and forth. It's like an amusement park. It's like an amusement park or a museum or something like that. There's no bhakti, there's no devotion being expressed there. They're missing the why. They're missing the why. So that why will be evident by the feeling in the heart that we get, whether it be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, chanting Hare Krishna. They have a recorded kirtan there. It's a recorded kirtan. And anyway... So the why, that's my point here today. The why is important, and that why is like it says in this verse, Rishayana. Bhavanti hrit karna Rishayana kata. In Ayurveda, Rishayana is like a cure. It's something that gives you life back. Life-giving elixir, yes. Rishayana, that's what it is. And so that's what it's like. When we hear in the proper mood, it gives us our life back. It awakens our spiritual life. It changes us for the better. So we need to take that medicine. And that medicine is available in the Association of Pure Devotees. It's not available otherwise. I don't think it's available at Prem Mandir. Maybe. But Krishna Balaram Mandir was just like a short walk down the road. Certainly it's available there. Certainly it's available there. Just sit there sometime and watch the people coming. I got kind of freaked out there at Mangal Arti one of the days leading up to Prabhupada's disappearance day. It was so crowded in the temple. Generally, you know, I go there and after the initial prayers, I go out to chant in the samadhi. But I couldn't get out. There were so many people, the doors were like, I said, well, I want to get out, you know, but I was just kind of stuck there and moved by the crowd this way and that way. There's life there, because there's devotion. There's devotion of the people and there's devotion of the devotees doing the service. Both things have to be there. Prabhupada said, there has to be qualification on the hearer and there has to be potency in the speaker. And if those two things come together, then this rasayana takes place. This life-giving elixir of the holy name takes place. So, again, it gets back to why we do something, why we do it. If we concentrate on that, then how we do it and what we do, they'll naturally follow. And people will be inspired. People will be inspired. Prabhupada gave the example in our preaching work of Saraswati, the small girl. Of course, she's a grown lady now. Malati Devi Dasi's daughter. He said that she's preaching. What, she was like 3 years old or something like that? What did she know? But she would go up to people and she'd say, do you know who Krishna is? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada appreciated that so much because of why she was doing it, rather than what she was doing it. She didn't have to go there to recite the Vedas in front of people to win their hearts. All she had to do is make a simple statement of her faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that preaching was effective. So if we want to be effective in what we do and how we affect others, then the why is important. Why we do something is more important than necessarily what we do. Or said in another way, the what will follow. So, I've spoken like this today because I don't know anything about this exchange between Krishna and the gopis. So, I just thought I would talk about why it's important to approach it in the right mood. So, does anyone have any questions or comments you'd like to say? Yes, Mahavudi, please. Well, I think Prabhupada gives, thank you for the question about how we can alleviate our fear. Krishna's fearing leaving the gopis with Radharani, so how can we get rid of our fear? Srila Prabhupada gave an example about this, and he talked about a child with his father. That a child may be afraid, but if he knows that his father is there, then he has some solace. It may be that he's not unafraid, he may still be afraid, but he's got his father there. So we may be fearful of so many things, including fearful of surrendering to Krishna, but if somehow or other we just keep in mind that Krishna is there, we have some little faith, and that has to grow, that faith has to grow. We have some little faith that Krishna is there, and even though I'm fearful, I can always turn to Krishna. If we believe that, even to the slightest degree, then we're on the right path to fearlessness. Everything takes time. This verse in Srimad Bhagavatam says, Anukramishyati will come, will follow in order, Anukramishyati. So, fearlessness, that will come. But we have to be patient and execute the process and place our faith in the right way, and it'll come. Understanding this description of Krishna's fear here, it says, let's get it right. Out of fear of the other gopis, Prabhupada says in the purport, Lord Sri Krishna took Srimati Radharani to a secluded place. What is that fear? We have to know. It's not the same as our being afraid of the boogeyman or something like that. It's a different kind of transcendental emotion. Yes.
Should I comment on that?
Yes, please. I wish I had the mic so you could.
Yogendra speaking. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. There's a wonderful purport which I won't read. It's just quotes. Sri Goswami, Madhvacharya, and others that he quotes here. Very wonderful on this. And then this verse has a line in it that's very famous. Bhaktya samjataya bhaktya. Yeah. And so smarantak smarayanchascha mito gaugaharam harim bhaktya samjataya bhaktya vibhat pradikam harim. Tadum. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the Lord amongst themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by the devotion to the principles of bhakti yoga, they please the Lord who takes away everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, they awaken pure love of God, and thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of ecstasy like that. But these two verses speak to that. Satam Prasangam is the further thing, but this, I just thought I'd share that.
11:3:30. Had a question about, you were talking about the why, and what he just said also added to what I was thinking. So if we're asking ourselves why, why are we doing this, or what is our motive? I know in the beginning we used to preach, okay, if you're 90% in Maya and 10% in Krishna consciousness, just engage in Krishna consciousness, and that 10% will increase to 11%, and then it'll be 89% Maya, and like that. And I'm wondering, at what point you utilize this analysis of why? Because what he just said, by the devotees being with each other and talking about Krishna and things like that, that you will naturally, you will become purified without ever having to analyze why am I doing this. Because You know, a lot of young men, they come to the temple because it's where all the beautiful ladies are, you know, and that may be not a valid reason, that may be where they're at the time, but they have a little bit of devotion. So they come to the temple and they sneak a peek, but yet they're here and they're eating prasadam and they're becoming purified. Now, what would happen if I told that person, oh, I know why you go there, you just want to look at the girls? You know, at what point is that information, when is it valuable? When is it useful? I guess that's pretty much what I was wanting to ask.
Well, I think that... one of the last things that anyone would be attracted by was, in the association of devotees, is people questioning their motives. So my point here is not to question motives. Because the association of devotees is all purifying. No matter what your motive is. But for those of us who have been around for a while, I think there is some responsibility in the association of devotees to know our motives and to try to keep those motives as pure as possible so that others coming into the association can get the benefit. Dravida read those two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and also this verse that I quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go back to the verses leading up to that and why that verse was spoken, it comes from Mother Devahuti, who's asking about how can one, you know, become free from the miseries of life, you know, and how does one get not bothered by those things? And the answer is by coming in the association of devotees. Because the association of devotees is a purifying experience. So somebody has to take responsibility for that purifying nature, that aspect. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is there, many senior devotees are there, but there is some responsibility for to be rightly motivated so others can take that association and advance. Again, without criticism or condemnation and, you know, judgment. If people feel judged, obviously they're not going to. No one wants to feel judged. But we judge ourselves. We're the ones who have to stand before Prabhupada, stand before the deities. We judge ourselves. And we should all at least feel it, you know. Let me try to be the best I can, you know, for the benefit of others and of myself. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have to desire to advance. Everything's based on our desire. So if we're not desiring to advance, then probably we won't. I mean, we get carried along, but probably we should desire it. So that, yeah, it's evolving. Good.
The verses I read were the near the end of a series of verses. There's a whole argument. Each one of these yogendras has a you know, consistent answer to questions by King Nimi. So the way I came across these verses, you know, this verse is Tasmat Gurum Papadeta. You know, there's a verse about the Prabhupada always quoted about the need for a spiritual master, and it begins with Tasmat. A tasmat is therefore. I was curious, what comes before the therefore? Because that's, you know, the end of an argument. So he has a few verses. He has three verses. You know, they're so concise, describing how you can never be happy in this material world, either here or on the heavenly planets. You know, but we all want to be happy. You know, so how are you going to find? Oh, Tasmag jigyasu shreya uttamam. If you're interested in the ultimate good in your life, you know, means maximum happiness, minimum unhappiness, then you have to approach a guru, a spiritual master who is qualified by, you know, being pure and shabde prechanishtam. And then it goes on. Well, what do you do when you approach? And those verses talks about, oh, you have to learn, you have to study, learn from the spiritual master, and render, undeceptive service, in other words, honest service to the spiritual. So the motivation, you're talking about motivation, the why, begins with, okay, I have to approach someone who I can surrender to. It's like Arjuna did, he was trying to figure it out. And then on the basis of duty, to accept a sense of duty. Okay, if I'm not spontaneously attracted, I do it anyway because it's my duty to the spiritual master. And that connection is there. Otherwise, you never come to the point of spontaneity unless you go through that duty. That's called vidhi vaidhi bhakti. So that's how the why is transformed, the motivation is transformed.
Just some things that came to mind about the importance of the why as you were speaking. That three things. One was the time that somebody asked Prabhupada, why, how is it that you see everybody's chanting in the temple room, but some people seem to be advancing more than others? And he said, the results come according to your conscious acceptance of what you're doing. I think that's in teachings of Lord Chaitanya also. So, and then another one was, he says that we can go on chanting vociferously for millions of years, and if we're not asking, why are you doing this, it's not going to have the desired effect. And there's also a place where Bhaktisiddhanta says, if you're not, again, asking that why and performing your sadhana with very clear idea of what your goal is, then it could even be karma. Or you'll get sukriti or pious credits, but you won't end up getting love of Godhead, bhakti. And somewhere there's also even an example of, if we're practicing the sadhana or doing the process, it'll give benefit, but it could be like, if you don't have the goal clearly in mind and keep asking yourself why you're doing it, then it could be like playing a football or soccer game with no goals. You're running around doing everything very nicely, but no goals, not, no effect.
Thank you. So, there's nothing else for me now. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.